In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. For a few minutes this morning, or not a few minutes, depending on how I can see the clock back there, I want us to look at some elements of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes I do a sermon that is a series of lists. This is going to be one of those sermons. It's similar to the sermon on Psalm 119, where each of those sections contains a reference to the Word of God. We're going to go through the different sections in Hebrews chapter 11 and gain some insights that hopefully will help us to live a life of faith, live closer to God, and give us a life where we practice our faith. So it's faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice the first point, the nature of faith. It is the substance or ground of things hoped for. It is neither a shadow nor a feeling. It is the evidence of things not seen. So by faith, we obtain a good report. Faith gives a good report of God and gains a good report for the believers. In verse 2, we see that faith, we see the knowledge of faith. Through faith, we understand. The world says seeing is believing. By faith, we understand that Christ came, he lived, he died, that sin has been put away, that we have eternal life, we can be accepted. All of this comes through our knowledge of faith, of what has been revealed. 1 John 5:13, these things I have written unto you, that you may believe, that you may know, that you may know. The knowledge of faith. Again, it's not some fuzzy feeling. In verses 4 through 6, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And again, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. Everything we do has to be from faith. With these passages, we see the worship of faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God. Is our worship by faith? That slide I showed you before Bible study this morning, their worship was not by faith. Again, the wrong thing, the wrong time, the wrong focus. It was social, not on Christ. Taking the Lord's Supper on Saturday night instead of on the first day of the week. Our worship is by faith, what we can open our Bibles to and put our finger on. And sometimes I'm going to do it when I'm in a group and people are talking about what they believe or where they go to church. I want to just ask them, so why do you have a Bible? Why do you have a Bible if you don't read it? Why do you have a Bible if you don't follow it? Well, they use the Bible also instead of as its only, our only guide. So when we come to God, we must believe. God is a spirit. We have to have faith to worship God. There are three musts that we need to remember. The first lies at the door of the kingdom. You must be born again. In verse 6 of our text here, he who comes to God must believe. So we must be born again. We must believe. And we must worship in spirit and truth. The worship of faith. We have the translation of faith in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. We often speak of justification by faith, but we usually don't speak of translation by faith. Every believer has been translated by faith into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1:13. And seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, this is the victory that overcomes the world. We have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Friends, that is such a blessing that we have, and it's because of faith, because of faith. We also see in verse 6 from this section the preciousness of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why is faith precious? Faith is precious because it pleases God. I'm going to mention two great things. There are more, but there are two great things that please God. The precious blood of Christ, that pleases God. Are you pleased with the precious blood of Christ? Have you submitted to baptism? Are you living in a way that you submitted to Christ since he died for us and shed his blood? And the second thing that is precious about that blood is faith in that blood. Blood in itself is of no avail to our salvation without faith. So we believe by faith. We believe that he is. We believe that he is rewarder. And then we have to receive this precious faith and live it in our lives. Looking at verses 7 through 9. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So notice in verse 7, our number six element, the testimony of faith. Noah prepared an ark by which he condemned the world. The works of every believer should condemn the world. You think about Noah, when he would take a hammer and swing that hammer and you'd hear that sound, that was in effect saying, my family is going to be saved. I'm building this ark for the salvation of my family. The echo of that went out to the world that if you don't come into the ark, you're going to be lost. Our faith speaks. The way we live speaks. People see where we go. They see what we do. They see what we buy. They see how we talk. That's the testimony of our faith. You can see extremes in people. Some people, they'll come up, a new person that you just meet, and within a couple minutes, they'll say, oh, I'm a Christian, and I go to such and such. And it's like they play the religion card to let you know they're religious, and then that's the last thing they ever say or do to give you any hint that they are religious, because they'll live any way they want to. But we have the testimony of faith. In verse 8, we have the obedience of faith. Abraham, when he was called, went, not knowing whether he went. It was not just enough to believe. He had to act on his faith. He had to go. Faith does not question, but follows. When God tells us to do something, we need to get busy doing it. When we think that there may be no way out of something or no way to get through for us, God is always going to make a way. God is always going to make a way of escape if it is something that is more challenging. But he obeyed. Abraham obeyed in a challenging situation. Can you think of anybody else that did that? Peter comes to mind. You think about when Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee and he was walking on the water, and Peter wanted to go out and see him, and he told him to come on out. That was taking a step in something that none of us can relate to. And when he took his eyes off of Christ, he began to sink. But friends, we may think that there are things impossible in this world, but Christ has called us for a purpose. He's called us for a job to do. He's called us for a job to do right here in New Lebanon. And we should not be scared taking a step out, because God is going to provide a way for us. You think about, again, with Abraham leaving, and you've seen the map so many times, how far he traveled to that land. In verse 9, we see that this is a walk of faith. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Every one of us is in this world as a sojourner. We're just passing through. We're just passing through. We should not get tied down to things, not worry about things. You turn on the news, there's so much to worry about. But we've got to walk by faith. Looking at verses 10 through 12. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. I laugh when I read that verse, because the Hebrew writer telling about what God is doing, and Sarah being advanced in age is going to have a baby. Therefore, from one man, and it's basically like saying that Abraham has one foot in the grave, as old as he is, and he's going to be a father. But nothing is impossible with God. Where is our faith? In verse 10, we see our aspiration of faith. We aspire to these things. Abraham aspired. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Faith will not be satisfied with temples and made with hands. Are you satisfied with this place right here? A lot of people, I think, my opinion, a lot of people don't think, if they are a member of a congregation or a church, they don't think much beyond the ceiling. Friends, this is great when we come together and sing and learn God's word and remember the death, burial, and resurrection, and we give of our means to continue the work. But friends, this is just the ground floor. We need to be looking toward heaven. We need to have faith that aspires to greater things. We need to have faith that we aspire to be around that throne one day, singing praises to God for time without end. In verse 11 and 12, we see the fruit of faith. Through faith, Sarah conceived seed. At first, she laughed. She laughed at God's promises, but afterwards, she found out that God was faithful. And sometimes we laugh at God, but God is always faithful. Looking at verses 13 through 15. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Do we see afar off? again, are we looking for that land? You think about Moses. Moses, when he was looking for the promised land, and he got to go up on the mountain and look, but he didn't get to go in. But in these passages, in this section in verse 13, we see a vision of faith, having seen them afar off. Friends, we need to look beyond what is right in front of us. We need to look beyond today, next week, next year. We need to have an eternal perspective on how we view things. Well, this job, boy, I can't turn it down. Look at all the money I'm going to make. Well, it might make me a lot of money today, but I might lose my soul if this is the choice that I make. We have to have a vision. In verse 13 and 14, we see a confession of faith. Confessed and declared plainly. Friends, as God's children, we should not be ashamed to confess that we are Christians. We should not be ashamed to confess that we are strangers and pilgrims. We are not trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Smiths next door with a new car and a bigger house. We need to confess plainly and not be ashamed that we're just passing through. In verses 15 and 16, we see the devotedness of faith. If they had been mindful, they might have returned, but now they desire a better country. Faith has but one hand, and it reaches forth to those things which are ahead. It's kind of like, this isn't the best example, but it's like having a car with no rear view mirrors, because you're just going to keep driving forward. We don't want to look in our rear view mirror of our life, because if we look back there, we might be tempted to turn and go back there. We need to be devoted to our faith. In verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "And Isaac, your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. You talk about faith. This old man that had one foot in the grave, that was married to this old woman, and they finally have a son, and God tells him to offer him up, wants you to offer him as a sacrifice. But Abraham is ready to do it. He has that faith. So in verse 17, we see the trial of faith. Abraham's faith was tried. Is he the only one whose faith is tried? Friends, our faith is going to be tried every day. Sometimes it's discouraging, sometimes it's disheartening. But friends, God does it for a purpose. One, to see if we are drawing closer to Him. Another, to help us depend more on God, less on ourselves, and so that we would be built up and draw closer to Him. Abraham, think about this. Abraham was willing to give up everything with his trial of faith. Think about when he left his homeland, and Abraham was a man of means. We don't know how much he had when he left, but he was a man of means. That would have been hard to sell his home, sell his land, drive a for sale sign out in front and say, I'm moving. Where are you going to, Abraham? I don't know. I'm taking my family with me. I'm taking my herds with me. But he was willing to leave that behind. And you compare him, Abraham's attitude, with the rich young ruler. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, "Master, what's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus told him, said, "All these things I've kept from my youth up. Look at how good I am." And what did Jesus tell him? He said, he told him to sell all that he had and give to the poor. So did the rich young ruler run out to do that? He didn't want to give it up. He didn't want to give up anything. Friends, we need to be willing to give up. Hebrews 11, 20 and 21, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Here we see in 20 and 21 the blessings of faith. By faith, Isaac and Jacob blessed. The father blessed the son. Sometimes we think of that mainly just with material goods, leaving an inheritance. Friends, the greatest riches a father can leave his sons is a faith in God. A faith in God that will get him to heaven. The blessings of faith. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Here in verse 22, we see the remembrance of faith. By faith Joseph remembered the departing of Israel. He remembered this promise that was made. 23 through 25, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Notice in verse 23, the element we see here is the secret of faith. The secrets of faith. By faith, Moses was hid. He was hid for 3 months. In a way, every believer has a hidden hope and a secret expectation that we don't want anybody to meddle with. Did they hide him because they were afraid of the king? No. I've heard that so many times. Why did they hide him? Well, they were afraid of the king. They didn't want him put to death. But the Hebrew writer, and they were not afraid of the king's command. They had faith, the secrets of faith. They hid him. The choice of faith. By faith, Moses refused, choosing rather to suffer. As he was growing in Egypt, he chose rather to be with his people than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. The Bible is full of choices that people had to make. Full of choices. Our life is full of choices too. Here Moses made a good choice. Even though he suffered, in the next 40 years he was a shepherd in the wilderness with a flock of sheep instead of at the top in Egypt. But it was a choice he made. And then sometimes when you think about somebody that goes for that choice that, oh, this will be so good for me, you just think of Lot. He chose the land where it was well watered. He chose the choice piece of land. And how did that work out for him? We looked at that Wednesday evening. Verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as one seeing the invisible. Here we see the estimate of faith in verse 26. Faith esteems the reproaches of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. You take Christ and you compare it to anything this world has to offer. Christ always is the greater. We see the flight of faith in verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt. Again, this may look like he was a coward, but faith never fears. We read, not fearing the wrath of the king. In verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. So in verse 28, we see the means of faith. Through faith, he kept the sprinkling of the blood. Again, going back to the blood, this blood that God had determined from the beginning that was necessary for the remission of sins. And you think about everything that all of these men had, that we have stories about them. Rods, small stones, ram's horns, jaw bones, broken pitchers. Did those things save? No, it was faith in God. These great stories that we read in the Old Testament, it was not the things that saved, it was the great faith in God. In verse 22, we see the boldness of faith. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Faith is the boldness to enter anywhere. To enter anywhere. It marches courageously through foe, through furnace, and the flood. And you think again, the stories of the Old Testament and the worthies, and they are an example for us today. In verses 30 and 31, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. In verse 30, we see the victory of faith. The walls fell down. We see the salvation of faith. By faith, Rahab perished not. You think about Rahab, and you think about Israel. And when they went in to destroy Jericho, they didn't forget Rahab. And she is listed as a woman of faith. She was a woman of faith, and they didn't forget her. You think about when Joseph was in prison and he interpreted dreams. He got forgotten. The butler forgot him. But friends, God will not forget our faith. Verses 32 through 35. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. Also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. In 32 through 35, we see the all-sufficiency of faith. According to your faith, it will be done. In verse 36, still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. We see the sufferings of faith. They were mocked. They were scourged. They were imprisoned. They were stoned. Sawn in two, destitute, afflicted, tormented. We have left all and followed thee. What shall we have? That's what the disciples kept asking Jesus. And as I said at the beginning, this was going to be a fast-paced sermon. But I think it's good when we just stop and do some like this. And notice the Bible is one of the richest documents that there are. And when we say Hebrews chapter 11 is a great chapter of faith, it is. But when we look at the elements of faith, we have the nature of faith, the knowledge of faith, the worship of faith, the translation of faith, the preciousness of faith, the testimony of faith, the obedience of faith, the walk of faith, the aspiration of faith, the fruit of faith, the vision of faith, the confession of faith, the devotedness of faith, the trial of faith, the blessing of faith, the remembrance of faith, secrets of faith, choice of faith, estimate of faith, flight of faith, means of faith, boldness of faith, victory of faith, salvation of faith, all sufficiency of faith, and sufferings of faith. So I've got one last question to end the sermon with. If the Hebrew writer wrote an update to this letter, would your name be included because of faith? What would the Hebrew writer have to say about us? Friends, we need to look to this chapter, read it, study it, and not just study it, but put it in practice, these things that God wants us to do so that we will be pleasing in His sight. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers, needs to confess sin, struggling with something, needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.